Greetings from the bush. In today's session, we'd like to go a bit deeper into the practice of mantra. Specifically, we've been working with the classic mantra, So Hang. Now, first of all, this statement, this mantra, has ancient roots. It is not the creation of any good Swami in the last century or so. The first roots go back to the strata of texts known as the Upanishads, the philosophical extracts from the Vedic ritual tradition, the work of the philosophers and sages unsubscribed from the world. And from there, it has proliferated throughout a vast body of scriptures in diverse lineages of the Indian tradition. Now, be that as it may, we are here first and foremost not to dabble with the history. The history is there simply to establish that we have roots in place. We're not picking this out of thin air. That's also actually fine if you can pick solid stuff out of thin air and bring it to life. Not a problem. But in this case, we are looking at something with long ancient roots. All right? Now this statement, so han, so sah, that hang from aham, me, I am, so hang, sah, aham, I am that. And now what is this that we're talking about? That is the subject of our inquiry while we practice the mantra. Now, in the use of a mantra, so hang, or any other aham brahmasmi pragyanam brahma, whatever, there is both the phonetic form, as in the way it sounds, the shape it creates in your mouth, in your brain, your cranium, and in your entire body, that has meaning and that has power. Also the meaning, as in the understanding of the import, what it signifies, that also has power. And when those two sides are combined, we have with ourselves the ingredients that make the mantra function, right? So, the first instance that I know of this mantra, Sohan, appears in a longer stanza in a text called Isha Upanishad, or Ishavasya Upanishad. And the description, we're framing this mantra into the context in which it appears, right? The stanza goes as follows. Pushan ekarshe yama surya prajapataya vyuharashmin samuhate ja tatte rupam kalyanatamam tatte pashyami yo savasau purusha soham asmi. Okay, let's take this apart a little bit. Pushan, the sustainer, the maintainer of all things in the universe. Ekarshe, that journeys in the vastness alone. Yama, the regulator, the container, the end. Surya, the splendor, the sun, the empowerment. Prajapataya, the generations and the course of evolution that follows from the maintainer and its course cascading throughout the ages. Life, death, the transition of being. This is the opening painting of the scene. Then, Vyuha Rashmin. There is a certain intense radiation that is blinding us. A veil. Vyuha Rashmin, please lift that veil. Dispel the illusion that blinds us. Samuha Teja, this splendor, this magnificent power, please bring it back unto yourself. Contain yourself in order to what? The next line, Yaste Rupam Kalyana Tamam Tatte Pashyami, that this most beneficent form of yours, as in the appearance of the that, would become accessible to us so that I may see. Then, Yo Sau Asau Purusha. In here, there is what we call a Purusha. Purusha is something, literally means one who dwells within a city or a citadel. It is a symbol signifying the divinity, the cosmic awareness, consciousness that pervades all things, embodied, localized in a particular vessel. Soham Asmi, and I am that. I am the infinity placed in a vessel. Right? And in here, we talk about the Vyuha Rashmin, we talk about the Samuha Teja. What is this radiance? What is this halo that veils us? In the previous stanza, the text talks about something that we call the causal body, the cocoon containing the subjective being. Hiranmaya Purusha, Hiranmaya Garbha, the golden vessel, the golden egg we are in, our glittery prison in which we are born, in which we live, and in which there is an animating consciousness underlying, interpreted by our conditioning, colored in countless ways, landing us in this conditioned world, acting through habits as if automatons at times, not having a true liberated freedom of choice. All right? So in here, underlying our conditioning inside this orb, this cocoon of a being, we are pupating, we are undergoing a metamorphosis. And at some point, it is for us to break free, to break through the shell, so that this inner realm, the microcosmos, would unite with the outer realm, the macrocosmos, so that the little consciousness, pure in its essence, colored, cast into conditions, would be at one with the all-pervading consciousness that infuses all sentient beings, that is contained in all sentient phenomena. So, ultimately, Soham, I am that. In this, we are cultivating awareness and trying to seek that which transcends our current experience, that which breaks the box that we have framed ourselves in, that which sets us free and brings us to a state of unity and solitude where all is one. That's the underlying sense of the practice, the import of Soham. Now, the question was popped, is it so ham or so hang? There is m, which is more of a flat, relatively dead sound. Your mouth is closed. And then there is When you see this written in Roman transliteration, you will see an M regular, and you will see an M with a dot under or over, as it may happen, sometimes spelled as NG. As example, you would find in the word sing. That is the sound we're looking for. We want to sing. We don't want to swim. Swim and sing. All right? Those are the sounds. And now both are actually valid. In Sanskrit, this entirely depends on the context in which the word ham appears. If the first character of the following word is a vowel, it remains regular M. If it's a consonant, it becomes M. For example, in the stanza earlier, we said, so ham asmi, right? If we had an S following, for example, so hang so, it would become m. So that's the gist of it. Both are valid, both can be practiced. The flat M is a more neutral, plain, grounded space. M has a broader resonance. From hang, we go to ong, ung, mang, and these sorts of sounds. We can explore those at a later time. They are called bija mantras, seed sounds, seeds that invoke different chakras, if you will, different cardinalities of consciousness and localizations in the vital or the pranic body. But that is a topic for another time. Today we are looking specifically at the methods of mantra practice, and this particular Sohang mantra as an example. It's a very simple, generic mantra, unfettered by invocation to any particular deity in the sky, or there is no storyline. It is as plain as it gets. It's a very vanilla, straight-up mantra, and it's a good practice as such. All right?